Whether it's Rev, Pastor, or whatever, I don't care what you call me, just don't call me late for dinner. So anyway, okay, we're talking about the way of faith. This is what this series, and we're talking about conquering faith. And our goal is to gain, when we look at the word conquer, it's to gain, I don't want to be on the Wi-Fi, okay, to gain mastery over or to overcome obstacles or opposition. And none of us ever have things that may be having mastery over us, or none of us have obstacles in our path or things that are opposing us. And the question we're going to ask for the next few weeks is, are you trusting God in your weakness? Are you trusting God, having faith in God, regardless of your weakness? And you can choose to thrive, or you can choose to survive. You can choose to conquer, or you can choose to be conquered. And you can choose to live by faith in your weaknesses. Kids, this is kind of hard. If you're drawing a picture to get a piece of gum, I'm going to be safe on this one. Just draw a picture of somebody camping and using a tent. Yeah, the biblical account we're going to get today is going to get pretty interesting. And it's really interesting when you look at it in the Lego Bible. I've got this Lego Bible, and it takes Old Testament stories and New Testament, and it does them in Legos. And boy, it's very graphic. And it even has this story, I think, in there. And so some titles, I think, of this sermon today is When Camping Goes Wrong, you know, or Bad Things at a Christian Camp. And you'll see here in a minute when it involves tents and tent pegs and skulls and all that kind of stuff. But now let's get back to, we can choose to have faith. And again, the same point today is live by faith in Christ. So regardless of what's in our path, we can conquer when we live by faith in Christ. And your points will spot the word live, because your main point probably for this whole series is, are we going to live by faith? Are we going to be conquered, or are we going to conquer through trusting in Christ? And again, I shared last week 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul talks about, and the verse that goes through my mind most Sundays is that God is able to use us in our weaknesses and will boast in our weaknesses so that the power of Christ might dwell in us. And so regardless of our weaknesses, we are called to live by faith. And last week we talked about Gideon. And when you look at Hebrews 11, verse 32, that we're going to be looking at Barak this week, notice that the order is from the weakest to the strongest. And the author is trying to say here, look at what God can do. When we talked about Gideon and having some discussion after the sermon, just when you really look at Gideon, it's just like, wow. Willing faith in God. Missionary Hudson Taylor said this: all God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His being with them. All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on His being with them. Romans 8:31 says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? Joshua 1:9, I used it last week, we'll be using it during this series, is he tells the Israelites, and specifically Joshua, that it doesn't matter where you go, I'll be with you. And so we need to stop focusing on the circumstances and focus on who's calling us to have faith. If God doesn't show up, it's not going to be done. And then even Christ coming, and one of his titles is Emmanuel, God with us. And so again, in all these accounts that we're looking at, they all were in a society where it was spiritually dark, very familiar with what we're dealing with. All the people that God called weren't great people. They were humble, or they had been humbled. And then they were given an impossible task. Still familiar today. Sounds really familiar with what we're dealing with as Christians. And so another thing Taylor said when we're looking at the problem, one of the comments, quotes that he says, is the problem is want of trust is at the root of most of our sin and our weakness. We don't trust Christ enough when he tells us to do something. We don't trust his word enough, and that is the problem. Let's get down to it. When God calls you to do something, who's calling you? It's not faith in what you can do. It's faith in what He can do. And so that's the problem, is we're, the root of our sin and our weakness is we're not having faith in God. Not walking, not living the way of faith. And we continue to look at this example in Barak. Again, if I titled this sermon, Camping Accidents in the Bible. Okay? And then we're going to be in Judges. So we're going to go to Judges. I'm just looking at a few verses. And most of these accounts are in Judges. This will be in Judges chapter 4. And the verses should be up there. But verse 1. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and Ehud had died. And so they had had a judge, they had had somebody that had led them in the right way, and it's the cycle of sin. And you're like, why are we talking about the Israelites? Because the Israelites are God's people through the nation that the Messiah came. And when you look at how God deals with the Israelites, that's how He deals with us as believers. We believe God, we follow God, then we go our own way. We sin, we pay for it, we cry out to God. It's that cycle of sin. Hopefully in your life, as you get closer to God, those gaps start closing in, and they're not that way. But we're looking at the Israelites. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. They didn't care that God could see what they were doing. They wanted to do their own thing. We just talked about that last week with Gideon. And so in verse 2, which we don't have that up there, just kind of, they weren't living by faith, and they were defeated, and they were sold, and they were enslaved, and they were oppressed for 20 years. Did evil in God's sight. He turned them over to that. And so for 20 years, they are enslaved, and they're living defeated, and they're oppressed. And then verse 3, they cry out to God. We're going to look at verses 4 through 10, and I'm going to be going through there, but that's that whole section. And what we see here in verse 4, Deborah, a prophetess, and the wife of the guy, of whoever was judging Israel at the time, and she was set under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramoth and Bethel at the hill country Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to settle disputes, and she summoned Barak, son of all that, and said to him, hasn't the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go deploy the troops on Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men? And then I will lure Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and his infantry and the Wadi Kush to the fight against you, and I will hand them over to you. And Barak said to you, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And I will gladly go with you, she said, but you will receive no honor on the road you are about to take, because the Lord will sell Sisera to a woman. So Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh, and Barak summoned all those people, and 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now we're going to go back and look at all this scripture, but this is the setup as you look at this week, verses 4 through 10. And we see again, in Hebrews 11:32, we're going from the weakest, Gideon. Barak's not much stronger. And so, first of all, in verse 4, we meet Deborah, and she's a woman, and she's a prophetess, and she's a judge. And again, we're kind of dealing with this debate right now, and I won't get that deep into it in Southern Baptist life. We believe in complementarianism, that men aren't better than women and women aren't better than men, but they are different, and God made them differently to complement one another. And when we ignore our differences that God has made us to complement one another, we're ignoring what God's created. And so a prophet is what I'm doing with you today, or what a teacher would do with you today. A prophet doesn't have to give you something new. They give you God's truth. And so it's not that she was a woman preacher, but just like the rest of us that receive Christ, whether men, neither man nor woman nor Jew nor Greek, then when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit and the ability to understand God's truth. And being a prophet is speaking God's truth. And there's a lot of women that are good judges too. I'm thankful for my wife, and I know a lot of you are thankful for your spouses when, hey, thank you for helping me avoid that pothole because I didn't see that. And so I don't think this is out of the norm, in the sense of whether man or woman, that they can determine God's truth and judge God's things. But we need to understand in God's design that God has created the man to be the spiritual leader of the home and of the church. Doesn't mean anybody's any less, but they complement each other. So this is an awesome thing that we see here with what Deborah is doing. And you're even going to see the difference when we get to Barak and what that's about. And so she's a bright light in a spiritually dark place. And so she's judging and she's helping them settle disputes. And in verse 6, she's being a prophet means she's a true speaker, speaking God's truth. And so she's seated and she summons Barak. And Barak means lightning, you know, so maybe he got there quickly, I don't know. But then you see in verse 6, she gives him a message of truth. Hasn't the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you to go? Now we got to think about that. Barak has already been commanded to go, because that's what it's saying there. So let's go back to Christians and the Great Commission, and you're just missing out on Wednesday nights. We're having great discussions on Wednesday nights. We're going through the series. When I preach to the Baptist Faith the Message, we're still going through those things and unpackaging it. And we were talking about evangelism and just really sharing about what holds us back from that. And so when you go to Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, everyone that is a believer that knows Christ, you are called to go. And so Barak was told to go, and this applies to all of us as believers. She's basically saying, you've already been told by God to go. What are you doing here? I'm thankful for God's grace that he reminds us of these things. And your first fill-in, living by faith means living out the truth. Let your walk match your talk. We get this all the time. It's more than actions. But I don't listen to what people are doing like this all the time. When somebody is talking about themselves and all this kind of stuff and what they've done and all this kind of stuff, and when they lead with that, that kind of tells me, like, what have you really done? Our walk and our talk need to match. And so we need to live out the truth. And so he'd already been told, and we as believers have been told to go. She's basically saying, what are you still doing here? God's part, you see in verse 7, then I will lure Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, and his chariots and the infantry to fight against you, and I will hand him over to you. Isn't that interesting? God is pushing within the enemy to try to fight, and he's going to hand him over. God is sovereign. God is in control. And so he had been commanded earlier, and he hadn't obeyed. And so she reminds him, and sometimes we need to be reminded of God's truth because we're for whatever reason, we don't go, whether fear or weakness or whatever, because we're not trusting God. And she's reminding him, look, God's going to push this enemy into you, and you're going to defeat him. Here's Barak's response, and it was conditional in verse 8. Barak said to her, I will go with you. If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. Now, you could take that a couple ways. You could be like, man, he's a wimp. But you know what? Ecclesiastes talks about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now, we know that we can go with just God because I like 2 Timothy, 4:17. The Lord alone stood with me and strengthened me so the message might be preached completely through me to the Gentiles. And also the Lord protected me from the mouth of a lion. That verse sticks out to me because, yeah, all you need is the Lord. You don't need anybody else. But in our weakness, he can provide us physical people. And so we might pick on Barak, but all of us somewhere would be like, it's a lot nice if you'll do this with me. This is why I'm thankful for fellow elders in churches, for fellow deacons in churches, for fellow people in churches when I've had to do some things spiritually or deal with things in the church. It's a lot easier not just doing it yourself. And so we got to start with the fact that we're weak, but if you need help, you need to say, look, I need help. And God will give you that help. I ask the question, is he a coward or is he courageous? Well, at least he's honest enough to ask for help. I'll go if you'll go with me. Then you go to verse 9. Notice her response. I will gladly go with you, she said, but you will receive no honor on the road you are about to take, because the Lord will sell Sisera to a woman. So Deborah got up and went with Barak to Kadesh. Okay, your next fill-in. Our response to living by faith is to invest but glad and be glad to go. See, now let's go to Deborah. There's a lot of times we're like, you need to suck it up, buttercup, and go. I don't need to do that. I've already done that. You go handle that. But how many times has God put you, Christian, in a place where somebody is weaker and they need you to spiritually, physically, metaphorically take them by the hand and go with them? And how is your attitude? Because my attitude's always great. Not. I don't want my wife to testify for the past few weeks because my attitude has been horrible, okay? And I love her, and yes, please forgive me. But anyway, but how many times are we like that? Well, it stinks to be you. Glad it's not me. And God's put a fellow believer that has a weak faith. It's just like spider versus snake people, okay? I'm a snake person. I hate them. I've had to be around them, and I'll be careful because I know some of you are very sensitive, okay, in that aspect, so let's switch over to spiders. But you spider people that are, I don't want to mess with spiders, I know, but it's like they don't bother me, okay, but I just crack up inside when you get freaked out about them or mice or whatever, or all kind of stuff, you know. But let's go down to spiritually. We do that with people. Well, you're weak in this area. That's not your weakness. Grab them metaphorically, physically, or spiritually by the hand and gladly do it. And she did give him the consequence. You're not going to give any honor. But you know what? It all goes to God anyway. And this is going to get really funky and interesting here in a minute. But we need to invest. We need to be glad to go. But so many times, Christians, our attitude is, I wish they would just suck it up. Why am I having to help them? Why are we here? We're here to sharpen one another. We're here to help one another. We're here to be the church, the body of Christ. And so the result of Barak's choice, the road to humility, you know, but I go back to John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. I go to James 4:10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And somebody else is going to be lifted up, but you know what? If you need the help, ask for it. It's a mixed bag. He got help. He obeyed. He may have been afraid to move without God, but we don't need to be afraid. And the result, Deborah got up and she rose and she went with them automatically. Guys, when God calls you to do something, just do it. And so in verse 16, it's not on there. Barak moves. He calls out everybody. He goes up. And then I think you go to verse 12, the enemy hears. And in verse 13, the enemy mobilizes. And these are chariots. And I'd have to do some more research, but I would think we're in the Iron Age because this is past Egypt. You know, these are the tanks of that day. They were quick, and they were hard to get at, and they would mow people over. And this was the technology. And so here they had a massive force, and they had these massive, the tanks of the day, the chariots. That brings us to verses 14 and 16. Then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has handed Sisera over you. Hasn't the Lord gone before you? So Barak came down from Mount Tabor and with 10,000 men following him. The Lord threw Sisera and all his charioteers and all his army into a panic before Barak's assault. And Sisera left his chariot, fled on foot, and Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as whatever that is, of the nations, and the whole army of Sisera fell by the sword. Not a single man was left. Let's go back to 14 and look at that for a minute. See, in our walk of faith, it doesn't always work like this. Well, every day God's going to tell me something new to do, and I got to do it automatically. How it works for me, because I'm a processor, God will lay something on my heart that it may take months or years to get me to the point where I'm ready. But the thing about it is you need to be ready when he says go. And so after Deborah spoke the truth to Barak and said she would go with them, we don't know what the time span was, but we need to be ready. And as we're witnessing, we talked about this. Most people come to the Lord through a long-term conversation with somebody. This is why I talked about conversational evangelism, that we get to know them, we listen to them, and we work towards the gospel. And then you got those people where they're total strangers. We talked about this Wednesday night, and you need to go straight to the gospel. The bottom line is you walk with God and you're ready. It doesn't matter what he's calling you to. It's him that's calling you to trust him. So I have on there, go, I mean, in mine, go explanation for it. This is the day the Lord has handed over to you. I go back to Joseph. You know, he goes to the pit and the prison and then the palace. Yes, that will preach, and not that I haven't before. But he didn't know the day he was going to get out of prison. He didn't know when he was going to go to the palace. He didn't know those things. We've just got to be faithful. And we've got to be ready. And so the Lord brought victory over the army. And that was the army. But we're going to look at the leader here in a minute. And notice Barak. Regardless, he got the help. He wasn't hesitating anymore. See, this is another thing. We need to give people grace. I know everybody here just instantly obeys God. If you're at that point, great. But there's a lot of stuff I have to be reminded and that I struggle with. And it's like, why am I doing that? I was going to say something else. But anyway, I want to automatically obey God, but we need to give people grace. In other words, yeah, remind them gently. This is why accountability is a good thing, and to have accountability in your life. It's like this. Hey, didn't the Lord tell you this? You need to go. Like me, what I do preaching to you, that God calls us to go and that you have a mission field. And then there's so many times we need to sharpen one another. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That is why accountability and Bible study and church and what we're doing, the people of God, we're sharpening, we're encouraging one another even more, as the scripture says, as we see the day approaching. And so she tells him it's time. And notice, he's not hesitating anymore. He's been helped. He's been reminded. And now it's time to go. And it's time for his walk to match his talk. And so the army gets into a tizzy and they panic. And not a single man was left. But what happened to the leader? This is where it gets really interesting. Okay. Again, now we look at verses 18 through 24. Jeril went out to greet. So the leaders run. Sisera's on the run. All of his army's been decimated, destroyed. And so Jeril, a lady, went out to greet Sisera and said to him, "Come in, my lord. Come in with me. Don't be afraid." So he went into her tent. She covered him with a blanket. He said to her, "Please give me a little water and a drink, for I am thirsty." She opened a container of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him again. And then he said to her, "Stand at the entrance of the tent. If a man comes and asks, 'Is there a man here?' say no." And while he was sleeping from exhaustion, Heber's wife took a tent peg, grabbed a hammer, and went silently to Sisera. She hammered the peg into his temple and drove it into the ground, and he died. Yeah, if the Bible's not interesting, come on now. 22, when Barak arrived in pursuit of Sisera, Jeril went out to greet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man you are looking for." So he went in with her, and there was Sisera lying dead with a tent peg through the temple. That day God subdued King Jabin of Canaan before the Israelites, and the power of the Israelites continued to increase against King Jabin of Canaan until they destroyed him. Wow. And when you see this in the Lego Bible, wow. Okay, when it's in Legos. All right, I mean, wow. Didn't realize the Bible was so graphic and so interesting. Some of you did, but some of you hadn't. Now let's think about this. Again, God can use anyone. We complement one another. Neither Jew nor Greek, nor man nor woman. And we see somebody that's weak in their faith, that's not going to get any glory, but they're willing to go. And then you wonder why this woman's husband, because the king that's on the run is talking to her husband, and you wonder if the king Sisera, if he was still alive when Barak had showed up, if the husband would have lied and said no, would have told him. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It matters, are you going to trust God and do the right thing? And in this instance, God's enemies needed to be destroyed, and one man was covering it up, and his wife was willing to do what needed to be done. Yeah, we could go deeper in this. You can research it this week, and we can have little sub-talks. But we need to understand here, notice what Deborah said. She said, because you're choosing for me to go with you, one, someone else will get the glory. Deborah got glory, and this woman got glory for defeating the leader of their enemies. But yet, all of them were willing to obey God and to live by faith. Your next fill-in, when we live by faith, the end result is total victory. God's asking you to trust Him. So God's asking you to do something. Don't you think He's going to bring about that victory? We are just a tool to be used by Him. And for some reason, somehow, we think we've got to do it or we have to manufacture it. Get in the back seat and let God drive and do it. What can we learn from walking and living the way of faith? Well, here's some lessons we can learn. Despite our struggles, our weaknesses, Barak went with the help of God's people. Barak followed God's truth, and Barak followed God's message. So, why are you focused on your weaknesses? Why are you focused on your can'ts? Focus on the one that's calling you. And I'm telling you that one thing I have learned in my walk with God, if He calls me to do it, He's going to have to show up and do it. Another lesson, when we struggle to go, we need to know we are going in the power of God. When we go, we need to abide in God. We need to pray to God. We need to obey God. We need to be John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding, resting in God. For some reason, again, I keep stressing this, we think we have any part in this. Our part is to go. Our part is to be willing. Another lesson, living by faith in God is the only possible way we can please God. And he says that in Hebrews 11:6, that it is impossible to please God unless we have faith in God. And so your last fill-in, living by faith means our everything is always up to God. Now that's a weird statement. Everything is always up to God. We are so focused on I've got to do this, or how am I going to do this? Who is calling you to do it? God. You just need to take that step of faith and be willing and obey and abide, and He'll take care of the rest. Everything is up to God. But for some reason, somehow, we think we have any part in this to make it happen. If you're having to make anything spiritually happen, it's probably not from God, and it's not going to work. Total faith in God, this is total faith in God to do what He asks us, what He calls us to do. So I've got some questions for you today, before we have a time of invitation. Today and during this season, what are you living for? I want you to think about that really hard. What are you living for? Well, I'm living for my family, I'm living for my retirement, I'm living for X. Those are all okay things. But if you're not living for eternal things, for God, which He's blessed you with family, He's blessed you with stuff, but if all those went away like Job, what are you living for? Are you living for rain or less heat? Are you living for whatever hunting or fishing season it is, or a better job or whatever? That's not much living. Live for God and live out the truth. Another question, How's your attitude of faith? I get it, guys. People come to you and they need help, and you're just like, suck it up. You don't tell them that, but you're thinking that. How gladly are you helping people? You might need to ask God today, God, forgive me of my attitude. I'm putting my yes back on the table, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it, because only then I'll be happy and doing it gladly. I do a lot of stuff begrudgingly, and that's not good. We should be the most joyful people because we've been saved from hell and we have a relationship with the God of all creation. And so we should be the most joyous people we can find. Another question I have, how are you living? A lot of us are living in defeat. Yes, we're in a dark society. Yes, we're being humbled. And yes, we're given a great task. But the war, we're just going behind enemy lines because God has won. And if we know Christ, we know that we have won. So why are you living defeated? God knows how this is going to end. He knows who's going to be in office. He knows what the economy is. He knows who's going to be sick. He knows what wars are going to happen. So stop focusing on that and stop living defeated. How contagious is that when people around us that don't know Christ see someone living in victory? Not victory in what you've done, but victory in what Christ has done. And lastly, who are you depending on? I think a lot of us as Christians are like this. I'll depend on God on the big things, but on the small things, I can handle it. That's a load of crud. Just realize you're weak and you need Jesus every hour. Now, we have an altar here. You can come and pray or you can talk to me. All this stuff, if you haven't taken the first step of faith to Christ, will do you no good. But for the majority of you, you're somewhere on what I've asked. And are you living by faith? It's not about your weakness. It's not about your circumstances. You need to cast it and give it to God and trust Him. As we stand, Lord, I pray however we need to be obedient today, that we'll be obedient to You. In Your name, Jesus.